Okay, you should have a hand. You all should have handouts from Devin. I don't see him right now. Everybody have a handout?
Here.
Anybody need one? Okay, we got a bunch over here. So we have been working through this social justice topic for about a month now. And so I thought it would be fun today. Well, it's not actually fun, but it would be a good exercise to actually listen to someone preaching some of this social gospel and then think through it a little bit using some of the information that we have learned so far in this class. This on your handout are a couple of memory verses that we have for this class that are very appropriate for what we're doing here. And I want to set the context for what you're going to listen to. Last April, in Memphis, Tennessee, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, which is a part of the Southern Baptist Convention that deals with political and cultural issues, and the Gospel Coalition co-sponsored this conference called MLK 50. And this was a conference that was to honor the memory of Martin Luther King and to talk about the fact that the evangelical church is still very segregated. and this, you can go to the Gospel Coalition website, and there's a lot of speakers there, and you can, as long as you can have time to spend, you can listen to some of these folks, which I have. The gentleman we're going to listen to today, Dr. Charlie Dates, is a senior pastor at Progressive Baptist Church in Chicago. Now, when you go to the Progressive Church website and you read their doctrinal statement and you look at what they say, their doctrinal statement would match up entirely with ours. Biblical inerrancy, the supremacy of Christ's sacrifice, the need for individuals to accept the work of Christ on the cross to be saved. I mean, when you read that, you would think, hey, I could go to that church. Okay? Charlie Dates also has been an adjunct professor at Moody Bible Institute. He spoke last year, or this past February, at Founders Week. He was one of the main evening speakers. He is an excellent speaker in that classical black preacher style, which you will see as you listen to him. But even with all of that, which would all be indications of correct thinking, correct theological thinking, this message is completely a social justice message. I have printed out on your handout, and you can follow along as we listen to him, some of the statements that he makes and places where he references Scripture. And we want to come back to that in the end for a few minutes and discuss some of this. Because this is exactly what you're going to have to do as you hear these, as you hear this kind of information, you need to process it and evaluate it. Okay, so we're going to practice doing that today in class. For those of you who will be listening to this online, we will be stopping the recording right now because we obviously don't have permission to put this recording on our website. So you will need to go to the Gospel Coalition, and once you get to that site, search for MLK 50 Conference Proceedings. So that's Gospel Coalition, MLK 50 Conference Proceedings. And look for the presentation by Charlie Dates. And then after you listen to that, we will pick back up with a recording to evaluate some of this talk. Yeah, well, there is that.
It is segregationist by nature, which is just incoherence, the dumbest thing I've heard today. But, I should...
You can always count on a good summary in the front door. So, the first time I listened to this, I was kind of incensed by it. And, you know, then I listened to it again a couple of times to try to actually figure out his style and what he was doing. And like I said, you know, this is the danger of this social justice movement to the American evangelical church, because as I said in the beginning, what is hard to understand is when you look at this guy's church's website, the statement on theology is the same as ours. And yet he weaves in and out from, you know, the truth about the need for salvation to all of this. You should have already picked up on the themes of the systems that are keeping black people down and the systems that are causing families to be broken and the hopelessness and the achievement gap that's caused by the systems against these communities. You know, that is back to what we talked about at the very beginning with the critical theory and the oppressors and the oppressed. Okay. Kirk. Yeah. That's true. Okay. And so again, the social justice movement is all about the world. You know, that not necessarily salvation, but and as we go on, you will see him talking about housing, education, and incarceration. Those three things he keeps bringing up. And it's all about the fact that the whites need to provide more money to the blacks. Now, here's the thing. Like I said, after I watched this the first time, I was just incensed. I was so angry and mad. And then I came back to it a couple of days later, and I watched it again because I wanted to be sure. And this is the challenge I have for you. When you first listen to this stuff, you just get angry because you feel like you're being unjustly accused and you have a tendency to think uncharitable thoughts about someone like this. Okay. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, while we contend for the truth, we ourselves have to be cautious not to sin. And it's easy for us in our flesh to sin when we're being what we feel like unjustly accused. Let's see if we can move this thing forward now. Yes.
They become dependent on it if they don't want to work.
Yeah. Yeah, so we would say that these systems are actually holding them back, yeah. And this is a little unfair. I don't know what this guy preaches to his people in his church. Like, there's no indication that some of what of the evils in their communities that he says need to be redressed come from individual sins of those people, just like in our community. So I don't know what challenge he provides or what preaching or shepherding he provides to his people at his church. So this may be unfair to judge this guy totally by a presentation that he gives at a conference like this. I'm guessing. Yeah, so. And so one of the things that is, and you make a great point, and one of the things that is difficult to listen to here is you feel like, okay, I didn't have anything to do with what was happening 50 years ago, but I'm still being tagged with that, you know, simply because of the color of my skin. But, so I challenge you, there's an awful lot wrong with what this gentleman's saying. But at the same time, we have to be careful in our response and to make sure that our attitudes are biblical as well. Let's see if this will play.
Obligation to call out wickedness where it exists.
His take on Zacchaeus. All right. So one of the reasons that I wanted to show this and take a Sunday to have you hear this was not because I really desired for you to be uncomfortable or to get you angry or whatever. But the fact is that we don't encounter this kind of thinking a lot in Perry County. And so I wanted to just challenge you with what's out there in what we would call, at least generally call, the evangelical church. This, you know, this is not someone who is a United Church of Christ pastor who is calling on social justice for transgender people. That's even further down the line. But this is what would generally be called mainstream evangelicalism. And this is what we have in those churches. And so, not all black evangelical pastors agree with this. And there are those who would respond to this type of message in the same way that some of you did earlier in the lesson. Now, did you notice what he said about Zacchaeus at the end? Okay, why does Zacchaeus give money back to people? What was that? He defrauded them, okay? All right, so there is this principle in Jewish society about returning twofold, and I think Zacchaeus did fourfold for what he had defrauded them. But how did this guy take the story of Zacchaeus and use it to support his theory? Now, this is really an important point because, and we all can be guilty of this, and so I challenge you on this as well. Whenever you put on your sunglasses or your filter, whatever your thing is, and then you want to filter or screen scripture through your own viewpoint, this is what you get. You don't go honestly looking for the truth of scripture. You want to filter it through your own screen. And these social justice people are filtering scripture to find what they want. And this, the way this guy lazily handled the story of Zacchaeus is typical of what you will see or hear from these kind of pastors. What did he do with the story of Zacchaeus? Steve. Yes, the poor need the help of the wealthy. That's not what the point of Zacchaeus is. Devin? Yes. Yes, yes, there's no, yes, okay. But do you see how he took the story of Zacchaeus? Okay. In the beginning of this talk, he talked about the fact that the church should not have segregation, de facto segregation, based on Ephesians 2. Well, what's happening in Ephesians 2? Paul is talking about the fact that Jews and Gentiles were separate, but now because of Christ, they can come together. They take that spiritual divide and they move that into a racial thing. So this is typical of what you will see, where they screen scripture through this social justice view and everything ends up having a message on social justice. Okay? What I caution you is, whatever your deal is, whether it's the end times or whatever else you're into, make sure you're not doing that with scripture, that you're screening it through how you want to see it. Okay? Doran.
Okay. Well, my biggest problem with this whole approach is the equation...
My approach or his
approach? Phew.
Okay, go ahead.
Poverty is evil. Poverty isn't evil. I mean, he's taking real issues of justice, like murder or trumping up charges against him, and equating poverty with that, and Scripture never does. Scripture is perfectly okay with people being poor. And the idea that poverty creates crime is demonstrably not true. I grew up in an all-black neighborhood. Everybody in my neighborhood but us was black. We were the whitest people on the face of the planet in the blackest neighborhood on the face of the earth. And the fact is, everybody was in the same boat. We were all poor. Now, the reason that our house was the only house that was ever broken into was because we weren't black. You just don't tend to rob those of your kind. You know? So yeah, our house was broken into every year without fail. And what we had was stolen. That's not a result of poverty. It's the result of ethic. And the problem in the black community is not a problem of poverty or justice or the ills of segregation. It's the fact that they have allowed their ethic to erode in the same way that white communities have allowed their ethic to erode. And all of that gets shunted to the side because of personal responsibility on individuals rather than collective grievance. The other observation is, he started out with a thing, I'm not going to be political, and actually towards the end, it was all political. It's just so funny. That actually fixed me, because it's just like, oh, okay, but yeah, it's the same old nonsense we hear all the time. So.
Okay, now notice, too, a final thing here. And this gets back to what Doran was saying. Do you remember him talking about the fact that in the New Testament there is this idea of righteousness and justice and they are related? Well, that's true in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay. And then he went on to say, but justice is not a social construct. The justice we see. And then he goes on to say that if we want to be, because righteousness and justice are related, because we're righteous, we ought to have justice, which means we ought to address all of these evils in the black community, and the whites ought to share their wealth, because that would be justice. But that actually is a social construct view of justice, in a way, because justice is more about what Doran was talking about, you know, equal opportunity under the law, everybody gets treated equally. So was there segregation and racism in the South 50 years ago? Yeah, that was injustice under the law, okay? But they have morphed that understanding, as we have talked about in previous weeks. The social justice people have morphed that understanding of justice into this idea that someone needs to pay to help us out. Okay. What I find most ironic and even a little bit cynical is at the end, after making all of these accusations, then how does he say we will solve this issue? How will we overcome? What do you say, Devin? Well, that's true. But how does he say we're going to overcome? We're going to love one another, right? We're going to love one another, okay? Well,
we're going to love one another by government-mandated confiscation of wealth.
We're going to love one another because, you know, the definition of love, as we learned from Doran's series some weeks ago, and what we learned from 1 Corinthians 13, is that love keeps no record of wrong. Right? And so not much of what I heard here could you say is love, but love is how we're going to overcome. So there's a real dissonance there in my mind about how this is going to work. And one of the good point, Tom, and one of the other difficulties with a talk like this is that you're only living out your Christian life if you are sharing your wealth with black communities in America. There's no credit given for living out your life, your Christian life, if you're sharing your wealth with poor white people somewhere, or with poor Thai people somewhere, or other things like that. Okay, so there's a hierarchy about living out your Christian life. There was one other hand over here. Oh, yeah, Rusty.
So back in the 13-minute area there, he quoted Martin Luther King as saying, never be bitter or have hatred towards your white man, your fellow white man, or seek retribution from him. But yet that's the entire embodiment of his argument is
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that interesting. I wrote that down as we came through. And it's funny how he said that at the 13-minute point, but at 20 minutes and 28 minutes, we're all about seeking that retribution.
So, okay, so we have to finish up here. So this is why we had this Sunday school class, to help you engage with this kind of thinking, to understand what's going on. Don't walk out of here feeling superior or that you know better or that these people are crazy. You walk out of here praying for the church in America and for its witness and for black pastors in their communities who preach the truth, and pray for our church that we can avoid stepping into these kind of swamps which are affecting a lot of American evangelicals. Okay? So this is not designed so you can feel better than anybody else. Okay? This is designed for you to understand what's out there, and it's a matter of prayer. All right, let's pray. Father, help us to be wise, but to be loving, to live biblical truth. And Father, it's easy to identify sin in other people, but we realize that we ourselves are no better standing before you. We do thank you for the blood of Christ, which was effective in allowing us to talk to you and have a relationship with you. We do thank you for this time. Father, we pray for wisdom and guidance from the Spirit as we do live out our faith day to day in the marketplace. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, see you next week for the concluding lesson of this series.